Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Four Doors Down by Emma Doherty. Narrated by Amy Melissa Bentley and Alex Kidd. Chapter 1.
Becca will know the answer.
What?
I look up from my notebook to see Mr. Henderson looking pointedly at me. I swivel in my chair to see Ryan Jackson, aka the bane of my existence, smirking and looking incredibly pleased with himself. Ugh, absolute ass. Mr. Henderson sighs.
Well, Becca?
I have absolutely no idea what he's talking about. I've spent the last 10 minutes thinking about what my mom will make for dinner, and I'd bet money Ryan knew that, too. I'm not entirely sure, sir.
Not entirely sure about what, Becca?
About what the correct answer is?
What was the question?
I stare at him blankly.
Aw, come on. He knows I'm not listening.
It's second to last period. I'm ready to go home. Does he actually think anyone is listening to him? He sighs and makes his way over to my desk. Too late. I remember that I've spent the last hour drawing an elaborate sketch of the classroom in front of me, rather than taking notes on his class. He takes one look at it and sighs again.
Impressive, Miss McKenzie. However, this will not help you pass English. You'll come back after school, and we'll go through it again.
I slump in my chair. Great. Fan-freaking-tastic. The bell rings, and my friend Sam looks over at me, smiling sympathetically. I gather my things and head toward the door, catching up with her. Ryan comes up behind me, and I glare at him as he passes, which only intensifies his smirk.
Ignore him. He's just trying to wind you up, Sam tells me, and I nod.
No point in wasting words on him. We start working our way down the hallway of McAllister High as it begins to fill up. Sam glances sideways at me.
Still on for tomorrow night?
I grin and nod. She doesn't even have to ask. There's no way I'd miss tomorrow night. Charlie will be there, and even the thought of him makes my heart beat slightly faster. Charlie is the guy I've been seeing for the last couple of months, and he is the sexiest, sweetest, most talented guy I've ever met. Just thinking about him makes me smile. Forget detention getting me down. I'm seeing Charlie tomorrow, so things are pretty great. I'm walking to my locker after the final bell has rung, but not to grab my things to go home. No, I have to collect my things and then head to detention. Lucky me. As I get closer, I see the familiar crowd gathered, and there he is, right in the middle holding court. Ryan Jackson. Ryan Jackson might be the scourge of my high school life, but apparently not everyone feels that way. Yes, he is over 6 foot tall with shiny dark hair, bright blue eyes, and a broad build that's made him the star of the school's football team and formerly its basketball team. But trust me, looks don't count for everything. And the guy's arrogance knows no bounds. Seriously. Ryan Jackson is the ultimate jock, ultimate big man on campus, ultimate player, and the ultimate pain in my ass. And I can say that as someone who's known him for years. Like, literally, since we were babies.
Our moms are best friends, and we live four doors down from each other. We were actually best friends up until middle school, when he suddenly started acting like I didn't exist. We've barely spoken since, apart from when he's bored and feels like annoying the hell out of me. And now, when I have like 2 minutes to grab my things before making it back to Henderson's class, his fan club of skanks and tagalongs are spread out around his locker, thus blocking mine, which is just a few farther down. "Excuse me," I say to Bianca Gallagher, who doesn't even acknowledge that I've spoken. "Excuse me." Again, nothing. No one even looks at me.
"God, would you move?"
I snap, and everyone goes silent and looks over. Bianca turns her nose up at me. "Rude much?" She says it with total disdain, but does step aside. I roll my eyes and open my locker.
"Ignore her, B. She's just pissed 'cause she has to go back to Henderson's room now,"
Ryan explains. I shoot him a dirty look. He just grins back at me. He opens his mouth to say something else, but is interrupted when Jake runs into him from behind. Ryan turns to greet him, and they bump fists, or whatever it is guys do now. I roll my eyes and turn back to my locker. The chatter continues around me like I'm invisible, and once again I'm reminded of how over high school I am, especially this particular high school in Maxwell, Southern California. I don't know who it was that said senior year is the best time of your life, but I'm already counting down to graduation and a time when I don't have to deal with these people anymore. Seriously, you'd think the divide between the popular kids and the rest of the school would cease to exist and be of no importance whatsoever in this day and age. But nope. Not here at McAllister High. I swear, it's like something out of a cheesy teen film, and I, for one, cannot wait to get out. Jake appears next to me.
"Hey, Becca."
I look over at him and can't stop a smile from etching onto my face. Jake might be Ryan's best friend, but I've known him forever too. And although Ryan and I barely speak anymore, Jake's always been the same with me. We might run in completely different circles these days, but we're still good friends. And he always makes sure to say hi when he sees me. "Hey." So, I just came from art class with Miss Smith, and she showed me the piece you've been working on for your final project. She's showing people that? Just me, and only 'cause I asked. She knows we're friends. Pretty amazing, Becca. Like, seriously. I allow a small smile to slip free. Jake doesn't bullshit, and it was nice of him to ask to see it. Thanks.
"Jake, come on!"
Bianca's irritated voice calls from the group behind us. He turns to look at her.
"We're going back to my house to chill by the pool."
I look up and must admit I get a small, satisfied feeling watching her. She's clearly annoyed that Jake is talking to me and not her. Ryan's watching us too, probably incredibly confused as to why Jake would waste his time on me. Jake turns to me.
"Wanna come too, Becca?"
I nearly laugh out loud at the look of horror on Bianca's face. I'm clearly not on the guest list. "Nah. Thanks to your buddy Ryan over there, I've got detention with Henderson," I tell him. Jake looks at Ryan and then back at me while shaking his head with an amused smile on his face. Otherwise, obviously, I'd be there. I finish grabbing my things and closing my locker. "Don't let yourself be dumbed down too much by the masses," I say, and Jake laughs as I walk away. I try not to think about the fact that school's over, and I've got at least another hour here. I arrive home from school, and I'm annoyed. Henderson couldn't give me a full hour's detention, so he decided to give me a morning detention instead. I have to get there at the crack of dawn tomorrow, and, in his words,
"show a drastic improvement in my attitude,"
as I am currently
wasting all my potential.
God, he's annoying. All I did was not know the answer to his stupid question. This is all Ryan's fault. Stupid, stupid Ryan. Always there to annoy me. We were inseparable when we were children. Our moms were always together, so we were always together. We used to play soccer together, go to parties together, and do homework together. To be honest, we were pretty cliquey, never really bothering with anyone else. It was just Ryan and me. I mean, we were friends with Jake, too, and hung around with him at school. But it was Ryan who was my best friend, and I was his. Then we started middle school, and at first, everything was great. We walked to school together every morning, spent all our breaks and lunches with one another, and walked home side by side at night. But we weren't in the same homerooms, and when Ryan made the basketball and football teams, I started noticing that a lot of his friends from the teams were all of a sudden eating lunch with us, and some of their friends from their grade schools. Suddenly, it wasn't just Ryan and me anymore. Other girls would be around too. Girls who weren't like me. Girls who were interested in boys and wore makeup to school. I mean, come on. We were 12. Anyway, I got the impression that Ryan's new friends, especially the girls, didn't really like me. I soon realized that our table was the popular table at school, and these kids were the most popular kids in our grade. Somehow, Ryan had become their ringleader. I told myself I was just being stupid, but things were definitely changing. And even when Jake was there and laughing and joking with everyone, I still didn't feel comfortable. Then one Monday, I left my house to walk to school and just had a feeling something was off. I hadn't seen Ryan all weekend, which was the first time that had happened in a long time. I was surprised when I got to his house and he wasn't there waiting for me as usual. I stood there for maybe 10 minutes before knocking on his door, and his mom told me he'd already left, and she didn't know why he hadn't waited for me. I could tell Mrs. Jackson felt sorry for me, and was trying to make me feel better by saying Ryan probably thought I'd gone ahead, but I knew he'd just decided to go without me that day. I didn't see him all morning, and I got to lunch late. I stood in line with the rest of the kids, and when I turned to find Ryan and our table, I saw that it was already full. I almost just went and sat down somewhere else, and I really wish I had. But I told myself I was being stupid. Ryan was my best friend, and we'd always eaten lunch together. So I walked over to his, our table. The table fell quiet when I got there. Only Jake smiled at me and started looking around to grab an extra chair. The rest of the table were all looking at Ryan with small smiles on their faces. Ryan looked slightly flushed, but when I placed my tray on the table, he looked me straight in the eye.
"Maybe you should go sit somewhere else today, Rebecca."
Yeah, he actually used my full name, like he didn't know me at all.
"And from now on," he continued. I remember going bright red and feeling humiliated with tears welling in my eyes. I remember how the cafeteria suddenly seemed really quiet, and I realized most people had probably heard what he said to me. Now that Ryan was so popular, I guess what he did was newsworthy. I remember Jake's head snapping to Ryan in shock. I just nodded as my mouth started trembling. I quickly walked across the cafeteria and sat at an empty table in the corner. I could feel people looking at me, but I refused to look up. I knew if I did, the tears would start to fall. A tray was put down across from me, and I glanced up to see that Jake had come to sit with me, shaking his head in annoyance, like he couldn't believe what had happened. We just sat there in silence, but I'll always remember how Jake stood by me that day and didn't let me sit there on my own, being whispered about and gawked at. I'm pretty certain that day is one of the main reasons I now hate being the center of attention. I managed to stay there for about 20 minutes before excusing myself to the bathroom. I locked myself in a stall and broke down in tears. I didn't understand it. Ryan was my best friend, and when you're that age, your best friend means everything to you. Now mine didn't want to know me and had humiliated me in front of everyone. The next day when I got to lunch, I sat at the same empty table, and this time, almost immediately, a girl named Sam, who was in a few of my classes, sat with me. She didn't mention anything about the day before, although she must have known about it. She just started talking about her favorite ice cream, and I knew everything was going to be all right. Jake sat with me that whole week, too, but I told him I was fine, and he could go back to sitting with his friends. I knew he was mad at Ryan for the way he'd treated me, but he eventually went back to their table and resumed his place in their group. I was miserable pretty much the rest of that week. When I got an A on my math test, he was the first person I wanted to tell, and when we needed partners in gym class, I didn't know who to ask. But I only let myself dwell on it for a week. If he wanted to be like that, he could be. I didn't need anyone who thought they were too good or too popular for me. As far as I was concerned, Ryan didn't exist anymore. I don't know if he had a change of heart or if maybe his mom made him do it, but he did come over to my house about 2 weeks after the lunch disaster. I wouldn't see him. I ignored my mom and wouldn't leave my room. Even when he tried talking to me through the door, I just ignored him. If he didn't need me, I didn't need him either. He left after 20 minutes or so, and that was that. I avoided him at all costs, not even looking in his direction if I could help it. We didn't speak at all for the rest of middle school. Then we got to high school, and I remember the exact moment I realized he wasn't going to ignore me anymore. The moment I realized he was going to go out of his way to annoy, embarrass, tease, humiliate, and antagonize me. It was the first week of high school, and I was sitting with Sam in the cafeteria. So far, everything had been okay. Sam had been really nervous about starting high school, but classes seemed to be doable, and we'd made a few friends we had started sitting with at lunch. I'd not been paying attention and managed to knock my drink all over myself. I stood up, annoyed, and reached down to pull on my shirt, dabbing at it with some napkins, trying to get the moisture out and to stop the stain. I suddenly felt myself being watched, and I looked up to find a large table of guys looking over with their eyes trained on me. At the time, I didn't know who they were, but it was a mix of ages. Some were clearly upperclassmen,
But Jake and Ryan were sitting there, so I figured it was one of the sports teams. I immediately dropped my shirt, suddenly aware that I may have inadvertently flashed my stomach at them, and sat back down, looking away. A beat later, their whole table burst out laughing loudly. And when I glanced up, some were still looking at me, some at Ryan. Ryan had clearly made a joke at my expense, one they all found hilarious. Later that week during lunch, I'd been listening to something one of the girls was saying when a throat was cleared behind me. We all turned to see a tall blonde guy with bright green eyes standing behind us. He was looking directly at me.
"I'm Billy Jameson," he told me. "Just thought you should know, Becca," he said before he turned and sauntered away.
I looked after him in astonishment, unsure what to make of this and wondering how he knew my name. When he rejoined the table that had been watching me earlier in the week, I got an uneasy feeling, especially with Ryan sitting over there staring at me blankly. Over the next couple of weeks, Billy Jameson went out of his way to chat with me at my locker and say hi to me when he saw me. Turned out he was a junior who played on the basketball team. He was pretty hot, kind of popular, in a peripheral sort of way, and pretty entertaining. But to be honest, I just found all the attention a bit overwhelming and a bit unwanted. I don't know why, but I felt suspicious. After a few weeks of idle chit-chat, he asked me out on a date. I was hesitant, unsure if I even wanted to, or if my dad would let me start dating. But he turned on his charm, and I agreed. We went for burgers and then a movie. I figured we would head home after, but he told me a few of his friends were having a cookout on the beach and that we should stop by. I was ready to head home, feeling incredibly tired that day for some reason, but I agreed, and we went to the beach. I expected it to be just a few of his friends, but as we walked toward the fire, there had to be at least 20 people sitting around. When Billy reached out and grabbed my hand, I started to feel uncomfortable. I mean, this was the first time a boy had held my hand, and he just happened to do it when we were about to meet a bunch of his friends. We stopped by the fire, and he greeted everyone while I looked around nervously. My heart sank when I saw Ryan was there. He was sitting with Mason Blackwell and John Roberts, talking to a couple of girls I recognized as being freshmen, but whose names I didn't know. They were drinking beers, and judging by how loud they were talking, they were pretty buzzed. Ryan glanced my way, as if he sensed me watching him. When he saw me, he shot me a look of such contempt that I wanted to turn around and leave. But just then, Billy draped his arm around my shoulder, and I turned to see he was introducing me to some of his friends. 20 minutes or so later, I was restless and wanted to leave, refusing the beer that was offered to me. Billy didn't want to go yet, so I excused myself to go find a bathroom. 5 minutes later, I was heading back when I noticed that Ryan and Mason had joined Billy and his friends. I slowed as I approached, so I could see them in the light of the fire, but I couldn't be seen in the black night.
"So, how's your date going?"
someone asked Billy.
"Good. She's cool. Really cool,"
Billy replied.
"Bro, I don't even know why you're bothering to waste your time,"
Ryan jumped in. He was talking loudly and seemed pretty drunk.
"Becca McKenzie is more frigid than an ice queen. Her chest is flatter than a 12-year-old boy's. She's dumber than pig shit.
and I heard she kisses like a wet fish.
He said the words with such venom, there was no doubt how much he despised me. There was a pause, and then they all burst into laughter. I couldn't help the hammering in my heart and the hurt that coursed through it at his cruel words. He stood there, letting them mock me, using me to make them laugh. Did he really hate me that much? It was true I was an ice queen to him, but he'd been the one to start that. And yes, my chest hadn't really developed fully yet. I didn't grow proper boobs until the end of my freshman year, and even then, they were never huge. But I wasn't stupid. I was definitely going to make it on the honor roll, and the only person he could have heard about my kissing technique from was Mason. Mason had launched himself at me during a game of spin the bottle, but it had been over so quickly. How could anyone say I kissed like a fish? I felt humiliation wash over me at their cruel laughter.
"Frigid, huh?"
one of Billy's friends asked.
"So you don't think he can tap her before Christmas?"
My breath caught in my throat. Tap me? Are they referring to sex?
"Oh, it'll be done,"
Billy replied cockily.
"You definitely think she's a virgin then?"
"Yeah, I would say so."
"Nah, I'm not convinced. Leave it,"
Ryan said.
"Come on, Jackson. One minute you're telling me she's frigid, the next she might not be a virgin. Get your story straight. Either way, I'm banging that girl,"
Billy told him.
"You better. I've got money riding on the end of November,"
another friend added. I remember feeling utterly sick. They were actually betting on when he would take my virginity, and Ryan knew about this? Did everyone know about this? I'd never felt so disgusted or vulnerable or small in my entire life. What was Ryan doing? Surely he felt some loyalty to me. Surely he wouldn't let them use me like that. That was the moment I decided I hated him. I cleared my throat and stepped closer to the fire so they could see me. They turned toward me in surprise, and panic crossed Billy's face. "I'm going to leave," I told him calmly. "And I'm never going to speak to you again." I turned to his friend who had mentioned the bet. "Maybe you'll get your money back when he picks his next unlucky victim." I cast one more look of disgust at Ryan, then turned and walked away. I walked 10 blocks just to get away from them before I started looking for a bus stop. The next week at school, Billy tried to smooth things over, but I calmly repeated that I wouldn't be speaking to him again. When word got around school about what had happened, a few other girls who had been on dates with some of the older guys from the team realized they were probably having bets placed on them too, and promptly stopped dating them. Ryan came and found me at my locker on Monday morning and apologized for the way he had spoken about me. He swore to me he didn't know about the bet and would never have let them go through with it. I stood and listened to him, watching his eyes dart away from my face nervously and his feet fidget on the floor. Then I closed my locker and walked past him without a word. We didn't have any interaction for months. Luckily for me, Billy Jameson transferred schools later in the year. Jake tried to talk to me about Ryan a couple of times, explaining that he had just been drunk and talking shit, but I didn't want to hear it. Then when I was talking to Jake one day, Ryan came over and cracked some lame joke at my expense,
acting as though we were old friends, and I didn't hate his guts.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?